Now it's my turn. 10 minutes now. Carol, this is going to be your favorite Sunday ever. As these men, godly men, have been sharing, really from the beginning of our time this morning through worship, and before I go any further, if we have any kiddos that would like to go to children's church, y'all head on out. We are foregoing the children's sermon so we can get right into it today. But I saw someone waving at me there in the back. But as they were talking, as Randall was singing, as I was sharing this prayer need earlier, and then hearing the testimony before our Lord's Supper, and then each of these men that were sharing, I just kept the same thing just kept spinning through my mind. And that really between Brandon and here Simon and other prayer needs that we've been sharing over the last few weeks, then hearing the story of the church over the last 10 years, that I just kept saying this, going through James 1, this is a James 1 church where we've seen how storms that we've been going through as individuals here over the last couple of weeks and months, storms that this church has gone through over the course of 10 years, good times, bad times, difficult times, and I hesitate to even call them bad times, but difficult times, that as they were speaking, I was reading through this email that Kevin sent to Lisa, and at the very end, he has a quote, and I thought it really kind of ties all of that together, this James 1 type mentality for our church, and I believe this is probably Kevin writing here, said, God is still good, powerful, and sovereign. Linda and I are choosing then to trust Him. There's no point in being angry with God because of suffering. Because if you have a God great and transcendent enough to be mad at because He hasn't stopped evil and suffering in the world, then you have, at the same moment, a God great and transcendent enough to have good reasons for allowing it to continue that you simply can't know. Indeed, you can't have it both ways. And so as the old song goes, we praise Him in the storm. And even in the midst of those storms that we've had as a church over the years, the storms that we've had as individuals over the years, whether it was health scares or family members dying or whatever it might be, we continue to try and seek God's help to praise Him in the midst of those storms. And so what an absolute joy it is then really to tie these three men's testimonies together, to tie these 10 years together here with what this church has been about for the last 10 years, to do the Word. And what began with that meeting on a Thursday to purpose to do the Word, hear the Word, study the Word, and then do the Word. But what a joy it is to stand before you today on such a monumental occasion for this church, our church family, those that we have come to love over the last nearly a year, because it was also at this time last year, on this day, 2015, that Rebecca and I went from being the Hensley party of two to become the Hensley party of six when we adopted our four princesses in Bonham, Texas, and then began our trip on icy roads to Arkansas and then later Kentucky, where I preached revival services. And actually, while we were there, that was when I first began to talk to Richard about the possibility of moving here. And then that's what she wrote. That's all she wrote. And we're here today celebrating both of those wonderful occasions, our becoming the Hensley Party of Six, this church celebrating 10 years of gospel witness here, and through your giving and your faithfulness, and even through mission trips, a gospel witness around the world. That's what this church has been about for 10 years, and that's what this church is going to be about for the next 10 years, the next 10 years, and the next 10 years, however God keeps us here. And so as we celebrate, what a privilege I believe I have to do what we've done some 520 some odd times. I'm sure Richard would know exactly how many Sunday services you've had. But today, we'll do what we've done around 520 times, and that is open up God's Word and hear it proclaimed. And so therefore, if you're able, stand with me for the reading of God's inerrant, infallible, and authoritative Word. In James chapter 1, we'll be in verses 22 through 25. Again, I encourage you not to just read it, not to just hear me read it, but to listen to it. And then we're going to seek the Spirit's help in applying it to our life. James 1, verse 22, and James says this, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." This is the word of God. Pray with me. God, I can't think of a better way to celebrate a church that's been about doing the word for 10 years then on this 10-year anniversary to hear again your word's exhortation to be doers of the word. God, we've learned a lot over 10 years. We've gone through a lot over 10 years. And God, this isn't the end, but perhaps even a comma into 10 more years of gospel witness here in Bandera County, around the world. 10 more years of having biblical eldership that seek to honor and glorify you through the way they make decisions. Seeking to have faithful expositional preaching week in and week out, highlighting your word, not man's opinions. And God, today we get to do just that, and we thank you for that. God, I thank you for bringing this church together 10 years ago. I thank you for bringing my family together a year ago. And I can't think of a better weekend to celebrate both than we get to do just now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. You see, doing the word, you know, we've heard these texts before, hearing the word, doing the word, usually hear them combined. We've split them up last week and this week. But doing the word is so much more than using Scripture as a list of do's and don'ts, but more about applying the truth of God's word, the teaching of God's word, that implanted truth that's in our hearts, applying that then to our lives, teaching us how to live. Just as James's early brothers and sisters in Christ were searching for hope in hopeless times, searching for strength when they were weak, I know many of you are too. All of our lives come with it different difficulties and storms, some more easy to face than others, but we all need strength. And here we discover where to find it. God's Word. The Word of God. You see, the same Word that God uses to save us is the same Word He implants in our hearts. And here is the same Word available to us right here, right now. But it can only be beneficial to us if we treat it that way. That this is God's Word and it is relevant to my life. It does matter to me and my family and my church. You see, as we covered last week, it's one thing for us to believe God's word is inerrant, infallible, and authoritative. What I say before every time I read our text. It's one thing to believe that, but do we believe that God's word matters? That it's relevant? Are we actually listening to His word? You see, just as we have to be faithful to listen to the word, not just reading over a text or hearing a sermon, but actually listening to the words that are there, we must also be faithful in applying what we're listening to in our lives. And so let's recap a little bit. James, who we've covered that God turned from being a mocker of Jesus into a servant of Christ Jesus, is writing to these early Jewish Christians who were facing unbelievable persecution and storms and trials. Since it was oral, their hearing of these words were imperative. They had to pay attention. They had to hear what James was saying. If they weren't hearing it, they might miss out on life-giving or even life-saving details for them. But not only did they have to hear it in that it would actually go into their ears, that they weren't asleep or falling asleep to God's word, that they were actually hearing it, they had to receive it. They had to welcome God's word with open arms and open ears. They had to listen to what God was telling them through God's word. And we do too. You see, in a day with more access to the word of God than we've ever had, many of us, including myself at times, take the access, the great access that we have, for granted. But we can't. For every single one of you, hold in your very hands right now the very words of God. The same God that flung every star in the sky, every planet into motion with His word, is speaking to you right here, right now, in His word. And it is His word. The same God that breathed life into a clump of clay and sand and dirt and made man is breathing life and has breathed life into His word. It is living and active. And that's the same word that you're holding in your hand right now. I think that's kind of special, don't you think? You think? But it doesn't do any good for us to just have His word, that we own His word, or that we have an app in our iPads or our iPhones with the word in it, or even that we are to read it or even hear it. We have to be faithful in receiving it, welcoming it, and also applying it, applying its truth to our lives. And so today I want to call us to make a choice. Having a Bible is great. Reading the Bible is great. Hearing the Bible preached is great. Actually listening to it is even more important and greater, but we must take one more step into applying what we hear and read and listen to our lives. We have to live out the words that we are considering. In other words, there is just as much danger in having no interest in reading or hearing God's word than having God's word, hearing God's word, and not caring anything about what it says. And so while we'll never completely and totally and perfectly live out God's word and obey it perfectly, as 1 John 1:8 reminds us, a true Christian nevertheless has a hunger for obeying God and His word. And so James chooses to compare this whole thing to the use of a mirror. And we all have a mirror, and we know what that mirror does. And for some of us, it makes us look a little bigger, and we just know that our mirror makes us 20 pounds heavier than it is. My mirror, every time I look at it, shows this ugly face back, and so there's something wrong with my mirror. But we all know that we have a mirror, and we know how to use those mirrors. And so James is going to compare our use of God's word to our use of the mirror. And so as we study our text, we'll find the choice between being a glancer of the word or a forgetful glancer at the word in verse 22 through 24, or a gazer into the Lord, a thoughtful gazer into God's holy word in verse 25. That's our choice for us today. Are we going to be a glancer or a gazer into the word of God. And so let's study our text to decide. So look back at verse 22 through 24. So we find the perhaps wrong way to handle God's word or to hear and do God's word, and that being a forgetful glancer. James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." You see, the first choice that we find in our text is to be a forgetful glancer of the word. James compares this whole thing to the use of a mirror, or how we use it to a beneficial way, or if we waste our time with it. What happens when we look at our mirror, get busy with something else, and forget to fix something needing attention? It's a waste of time. Looking in a mirror is only helpful when it leads to action. Otherwise, it's an absolute waste of our time. And so with that idea in mind, I suggest that there's a lot of useless looking at God's Word in many churches today. The Word, like the mirror, does its work. It always works. We see it. It tells us the truth. But then what do we do with that truth? The responsibility ultimately rests on us with how we handle what we learn in God's Word. If Scripture reveals something into our life or about our life that's perhaps sin, many of us often will ignore it, walk away. But we shouldn't. See, when we read and when we hear the Word and actually are seeking to listen to what it is saying, what does it show? What does it show about our life? Perhaps it shows that your prayer life is wanting. Or that we're holding a grudge against a brother or a sister in Christ. Perhaps it shows our engagement in worship is lacking, or reading God's Word is lacking, or our love of Christ is cooling. How do you respond? Maintain the status quo? Keep on keeping on? Or take some kind of action empowered by His Spirit and guided by His Holy Word? You see, many of us, including myself in the past, are waiting for something big to happen in our life, or some mountaintop spiritual experience that will make us want to change our life. But our text here puts the onus on ourselves right here, right now, telling us not to wait for a feeling, not to wait for a certain day down the road, but right here, right now, dealing with the things that we see in the mirror of God's Word today. Revealed as God's Word reveals to us, we need to act on it today. Not tomorrow, not down the road, but now. I mentioned how I think my mirror is faulty, because every time I look into it, I see that it's this ugly face looking into it. But one of the saddest days of my life was probably this time last year when I was trying to trim my beard. At this point, it was down to about my belly button. And I know some of you were glad when I trimmed that back. And this was one thing that led to that day. That I was using the mirror to guide the razor along my face, and it's, I don't know what caught my attention somewhere else, but I looked away and I hacked off a nice big chunk of my beard, revealing much more of my ugly face than I'd ever wanted to reveal. Oh, was there weeping and gnashing of teeth that day. I was depressed. It was an awful, awful day. You see, I had the mirror, but I wasn't using it properly. I wasn't paying attention to what I was seeing in the mirror. I wasn't making the cuts on my beard as revealed by the mirror. I was just going by feel. I was just hoping for the best, and what I was left with was a chunk of hair sitting down in the sink, much to my mom's chagrin. She was very excited about that. You see, the same is true for many of us with applying God's Word. You see, just as a glaring weakness in last week's text on hearing the Word and taking the great access that we have for it for granted, today the weakness here, or the struggle that we will have with our text, is how we allow God's Word to reveal something in our life, but then choose not to act on it, then choose not to do something with what it's revealing. That's the temptation that we have. And when Scripture reveals something in our life that needs attention, are we going to stop and say, help me, Lord, address this need. Help me, Lord, address this sin. Help me, Lord, fight this temptation. I want to do it according to your word, and I need your help to do that. And just as we covered in James 1:5, we can ask him for that type of wisdom, and he gives it without reservation. You see, James gives us the other choice of how to deal with God's word, how we should rightly handle God's word, how we should rightly live out God's word. And he does that in verse 25, where he says this, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." You see, the other choice that we have is to be a thoughtful gazer into the Word of God. This is a beneficial use of the mirror as compared to what was ultimately a waste of time. The thoughtful gazer is one who looks into God's holy word and doesn't just walk away forgetting what he's seen, but remains there, continues in it. And our text says he will be blessed in doing so. See, the original Greek meaning of the word look suggests much more than just a casual or a flippant glance here and there, as we just considered. It has a sense of looking carefully, of looking purposefully, of looking closely, of looking seriously into God's word. It speaks of us stooping in and zooming in onto what God's word is saying and that we're listening to, and to try to see it more and more clearly, to know it better, because it's the same word that we find in John 25 of Jesus' beloved disciple stooping in and zooming in on the tomb only to discover it was empty. The real meaning had been found for his beloved disciple. You see, a scrutiny like that, a scrutiny like looking at God's word intently and purposefully and focused on trying to hear what it's saying, listening to what it's saying, and then living out what we're seeing in our life, it's not going to be an occasional thing. Like running in a marathon, it takes endurance, it takes practice, it takes time. It has to become a habit in our life. Therefore, James says, those of us wanting to be thoughtful gazers into his word, what word does he use there? It says he will persevere. They will stay in, they will endure, they will continue in God's word, seeking God's word, listening to God's word. It will become their lifestyle. Why? What's its purpose? It's to be using God's word in such a way that we're putting it in to practice. You see, hold up. Many today would like to say that God's word is legalistic. It's a bunch of do's and don'ts. It tells us what we can do, what we can't do. It always seems like he's not wanting us to have any fun and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. But no, James says. He calls God's word the perfect law of what? Of what? Liberty. God's word is a law, yes, as God gives it for the express purpose of guiding our lives, guiding our conducts. But God's word is also perfect as it is given by our perfect God himself. Therefore, a God who is perfect can't produce anything that isn't purpose. So the law of God is the law of liberty, because it gives us liberty. It gives us freedom, and it gives freedom to those who subject themselves to it. But that's kind of where the rubber meets the road for many of us. We like to buy into Satan's lie portraying sin as freedom and following God's word as a bondage. But in fact, the reverse is true. Thomas Manton said, "Duty is the greatest delight and sin is the greatest bondage." When we have an appetite for sin and self, we have to keep eating more and more and more. And then you realize that sin is truly the greatest bondage we could ever have. You see, Manton obviously had James in mind here. For when we see it the way, see God's word, the way God wants us to see it, intends us to see it, we realize how blessed we are to have his word as a mirror to show us the absolute truth about ourselves in his word and him as our holy and righteous creator. It is a law that gives us total liberty to live according to his word and for his glory and honor, for us to glorify him by enjoying him forever, our chief end as his created man and woman. Hear me, church. If you would realize the absolute and total beauty of this in the Bible that you are holding in your hand, God's word to you, shaping your life, guiding your life, giving you hope for your life, giving you peace for your life, helping you to make decisions according to his word, leading this church according to his word. When we see how beautiful and perfect this is, then I guarantee you'll struggle less with being a thoughtful gazer into his word. It will become what you desire to do, what you live to do. And those that do, our text says, will be blessed as they do. You see, now many so-called preachers would have you believe, though, that blessed is merely being happy or how you could live your best life now. But the true blessing that God's word is speaking of here is ultimately a life of fulfillment. In the American condition, though, is a life antithetical to that, a life of striving for peace at all costs, of wanting more and more. And many of us do that by racking up debt, buying things that we don't need to impress people sometimes we don't like, as it's said, or by advancing our careers. Even some would seek it through a bottle or through drugs. But if you're honest, you know that the more you seek fulfillment in yourself and in things and in your bank account and in everything else of this world, the more you realize that it's harder and harder to grasp. It's a chasing after the wind. And so we could say, oh, where art thou, thy fulfillment? And then James would say, right here, in doing the word of God, and he will be blessed in his doing. You see, this shouldn't surprise you. For you were made by God. You were made for God. And so does it make sense that we could only find fulfillment in God? It makes perfect sense. And we find fulfillment in God by being doers of his word, the perfect law of liberty, of freedom. For freedom you've been set free. So let's put James to the test. I dare you. Seek to live your life according to God's word. Read it, hear it, study it, apply it to your life. Seek to live it out and see for yourself if James is telling the truth here. And as you do, I'm certain that you'll find James to be almost like an honest older brother trying to give you some insider tips on how to live your life. Do it by hearing, listening, living the word of God. You see, don't just read it, don't just hear it, don't just listen to it. We need God's help and to seek to live out what he says. And so what? How could we wrap this up then? One could be a series of questions. Do you want peace? Do you want rest in restless times? Do you want contentment? Do you want blessing? Do you want fulfillment? If not, ignore everything I'm about to say. But if you do, as I expect you would, when your conscience is pricked by reading God's word or hearing God's word preached, I dare you to commit some form of action with what you're reading, no matter how small. Because as you'll do this, you'll discover more truth and more truth and more truth and more options for action. See, church, there's a world of difference between reading a menu and enjoying the meal. Family, our hope lies in God's word which the Spirit implants in us. This implanted word is able to save our souls and empower the godly life that God requires. As we truly listen, as we truly hear the word and see it as a mirror into our souls, remember it and do what it says. James here says, we will be blessed in our doing. We will find fulfillment in our doing. We will find peace in our doing. Therefore, the initiative and the enabling and the power for all of these divine qualities is coming from God. So if you find this difficult, ask God for help. If you're struggling with reading God's Word, ask God to give you a desire to read, and then by all means, pick up God's Word and begin to read and test Him in that. That as you read, you will find out that God is going to continue to open up truth after truth after truth about God's Word. You see, God provides for what He requires. And we will then discover genuine obedience to God's Word brings greater freedom in our life, greater blessing in our life than we would ever have for striving after sin, after sin, after sin, serving self, after self, after self, then building up our jobs, our bank accounts, our appetites for sin, but actually hungering and thirsting for God's Word. See, I want you to do a little action right now. If you have your Bible, I want you just to lift it up. Lift it up. That right there that you hold in your hand is the Word of God that James calls the perfect law of liberty. And some of you have some heavier Bibles, so you can set them down now. I don't want you to be sore from leaving here. But that is the perfect law of liberty, of freedom. Are you reading it? Are you hearing it? Are you listening to it now? Will you make it relevant to your life by living out what you're seeing in those texts, in what we're studying, in what you're reading in your Bible study, in what you're reading in the ladies' Bible? As we're doing our personal Bible study, as we read these things, seek opportunities and ways that you can live out what you see and test the Lord in this, that He will bless you for it. And you will find fulfillment and peace as you live out His Word and guide your life based on His Word. See, as our musicians come to lead us in worship, I want to once again point out how blessed we are as a church, as we've seen over 10 years, to have faithful men teaching God's Word and now women teaching our ladies' Bible study. We are immensely blessed with capable, faithful teachers of God's Word nearly every day of the week. What a blessing that is. I want to also point out how blessed we are to have His Word in unbelievable access, whether it's on your iPads or your iPhones, but you have the Word of God in your own language and oftentimes in ways that you can easily understand and sometimes even with wonderful little study notes to help you understand some more difficult texts. What a wonderful privilege we have to have the Word of God in each of our hands today. And I want to point out once again that all of that, the faithful teaching of the Word, the preaching of the Word, the reading of the Word, the access that we have of God's Word, won't make a lick of a difference if you're not actually reading it, hearing it, listening to it, applying it to your life as our text commands. And when you do, you'll find that we'll reap the blessings of God. We'll experience His peace. We'll experience His hope. We'll experience His help as we do this. And so as we sing, if you'd like to join the church, want to know more about baptism or trust in Christ, you're welcome to visit with me during this time. But other than that, I encourage you to sing out this song to God for God's glory and sing it out loudly as we mark today 10 years, as we celebrate the past and as we look forward into the future of continuing to listen and apply God's Word, to be doers of the Word as a church. Pray with me. God, You are good. And Lord, we thank You for Your Word. There are no scriptures that tell us it's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The whole purpose of that is that we would not sin against you. But God, we do fall short time and time again. We don't always take your word as seriously as we ought. And so God, I ask for myself that you would continue to prick my conscience to desire and to hunger more and more of your word. Seek out more opportunities to live out your word. Because you've saved me, you've called me to holiness, you've given me your very word. And thankfully, I have it in my own language. I can study it, I can read it, I can understand how I should live because you've spelled it out for me. And so, God, I beg you for your help in doing that myself and for all of my hearers here this morning, that we would truly read your word for all it's worth, that we would hear your word for all it's worth, that we would listen to your word. And God, that we would apply it to our lives and live out your word in a way that brings you the most honor and glory. God, I'm so thankful that you provide what you require. And so help us to follow that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.